Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, who alone does wonders, who lifts up the lowly, who fills the hungry with good things. Amen. Let us confess our sin, trusting in the tender mercy of our God. God, for whom we wait. God in Christ Jesus has looked with favor upon you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your sins are forgiven. You are children of the Most High, inheritors of the eternal promise, and recipients of divine mercy. God strengthens you anew to follow the way of peace. Your joy, for soon he is born. Behold the child, a longing. Come as a baby, weak and poor, to bring our hearts together. He opens wide heavenly doors, born inside us forever. His humble song is quiet and near, yet fills the earth with its ringing. Music to heal the broken soul, and hymns of loving kindness. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the lighting of the Advent wreath. Blessed are you, God of might and majesty, for you promised to make the desert rejoice and blossom, to watch over the strangers and to set the prisoners free. As we light these candles, satisfy our hunger with your good gifts, open our eyes to the great things you have done for us, and fill us with patience until the coming of the Lord Jesus. O ransomed people of the Lord, come.
A reading from Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change the shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. The congregation will read the bold print. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my might, and has become my salvation.
With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call on God's name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that his name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. A reading from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything but prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where did you get that? It's a question I find myself asking a child in my home often because they have something that they probably should not have. There they are, happy with whatever they have in front of them. But in these instances, what they have does not belong to them. There's a sibling in another room upset that they no longer have what makes them happy. But that doesn't seem to bother the one who has the object or the toy that is bringing them joy in the moment right now. Where did you get that? You think I get an answer? They're smart. They stonewall. And when they start talking, they make excuses how they were really entitled to have what they have now, even if it came at the expense of their sibling. Now, it might not surprise you, but each child in our home has plenty of toys each. But would it surprise you that they love what they don't have? There's plenty to share and there's plenty to spare. But if we can get all that we want, and if we can get away with it, why not do it? Now, I'll be the first to say that my children can be a brood of vipers. And so can all of us be a brood of vipers. And then we are called to bear fruits of repentance. In our gospel lesson today, the rich are called out because if they have clothing or food to spare, they should share it. Tax collectors collecting more than what was due should stop. Soldiers routinely threatening and falsely accusing others, extorting people, need to stop. And here we find ourselves in our current context and lives. There's a tension that we hold, the power that we might have in our communities. We might have access to the many things that others lack. And then certainly in our society, even with that reality confronting us, having access to more things and knowing that our neighbor lacks those things, we could just go on with our lives and ignore the needs of our neighbors. Rather than loving God and our neighbor, we stonewall them with our indifference. We don't have to be actively engaged in that behavior of corruption, by the way. What we hear in the gospel lesson from Luke is that there are people who are engaged in those corrupt practices, but that creates a system of injustice. That creates then a status quo. And that's the way the system works. And we become indifferent to it. We become complacent to it. And if we're somehow, even albeit indirectly, benefiting from it, why disrupt that system? In fact, if we're not actively engaged in such corrupt behavior, I believe it's easy to be blind to that reality of the injustice that's around us and to just continue to go on with our lives. But see, this has an impact not just on our neighbor, but ourselves. If you noticed our lessons up until the gospel, a lot of it was about joy, rejoicing, right? And then we get to the gospel and John the Baptist saying, "You brood of vipers." Something might seem off, but we can't really know and experience the joy of the Lord if we're still attached to our sin and brokenness, if we're still attached to the self-centeredness in believing that we are free when we're really captive to that sin and brokenness in ourselves and in the world. Now, John is speaking about judgment in our gospel lesson. Judgment leads us to freedom in God, because where there is judgment, there is repentance. And where there is repentance, there is forgiveness. And then we are truly free in the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. And when we are free, there are those instances in which we're unable to look back. You ever been made aware of something and you can no longer see it any other way anymore? You can't go back to how it was once something has been revealed to you, once your mind and your heart has been opened to something new. You can't turn back anymore. There is a freedom that we have in Christ, and it starts with that judgment. And it can be painful, it can be a struggle, but once our eyes are opened, we know we are better for it. And I know that word of judgment in the gospel lesson comes with a scary image, the image of that chaff burning in the unquenchable fire. But there is also good news with that, because the Holy Spirit also brings that image of fire. Remember, in our gospel lesson, it ends on good news, that John preached to them many other exhortations, but he also preached the good news. He preached the good news of the one more powerful than him who is coming. He preached the good news of that one more powerful than him who is coming, and that we know that in him death would not contain him, that sin would no longer have power over him. So that judgmental fire that John speaks is a purifying fire. The fire from the Holy Spirit is a purifying fire that fashions something new in us and within us. So as Christ comes to burn away our sin, to take on our sin, we become righteous through him. This is the good news that sets us free. It's a cleansing fire, because we are no longer caught up in the status quo. We are no longer caught up in looking out only for ourselves and being blinded to the needs of our neighbor. We're no longer caught up in the spirit that my children find themselves in, scheming to take what is theirs from their sibling, or what adults do in our world in using their positions to take advantage of others. For our trust is in the powerful one, Jesus Christ, who dwells among us and who loves us unconditionally. Our Lord loved us as a brood of vipers, and loved us so much that through his sacrificial love on the cross, we would become children of God. We would go from a brood of vipers to beloved children of God. And now we can repent when we are blinded to the needs of our neighbor. We can repent when we realize that we have sinned against our neighbor directly or indirectly. We can repent, we can turn to Christ, who makes us new and reminds us that we're part of a new creation sent forth with a cleansing fire, now fired up to share the good news and love of Jesus in word and deed. So if we're going to be a people of joy, then it needs to be a joy for the whole world. It needs to be a joy that truly frees and includes all people. And when we live into the new creation, and in those instances, when I ask a child in my home, where did you get that? They can then tell me, well, so-and-so shared it with them. It's in those moments where there's no stonewalling. No one's unhappy. No one's lost something. Nothing's been done unfairly or taken away from them. They've realized that what they have been given has been given to them in abundance, and there's plenty for all involved. Once we realize that as a brood of vipers, and we can then function as children of God, we all share out of our abundance. It's all of us on a micro level, that image I give with my children fighting and then able to then realize, repent, and share and rejoice in all that they have. Because we too, when realizing that all that we have is because of God, and that God desires to care for our neighbor and for us to give of ourselves as Christ loved us, to love others as Jesus loved us sacrificially, when people ask us, where did you get that? You can say, I got this from God, who made it possible for me to obtain this, and I'm sharing it with you. You can freely share the good news in saying that I got my faith from God, to know Him and to love Him, that God has given me clarity to see people in need around me and the ability to serve them and love them with the love of Jesus, by sharing with them the love of Jesus. Now, this will not always be easy. It would have been easy for tax collectors listening to John the Baptist and saying, okay, I'm no longer going to take more than what I should take. Or a soldier listening to John the Baptist and saying, okay, I'm no longer going to extort people. Because you know who's going to have a problem with that? Other tax collectors and other soldiers. They're going to be judged harshly. They're going to be put in difficult situations, whether they follow the way of God or the broken ways of the world. Their actions, if they took John's words seriously, would have drastically disrupted the system and the status quo, and I can only imagine what it would have cost them. But that is the way of Jesus that ultimately leads us to the cross, but then also leads us to the empty tomb, where we find our hope and our salvation for the world. For allowing ourselves to succumb to the fiery judgment of Christ and to be made new through that process, we are now shaped to be bearers of good news. And that transformation means that our lives are going to be lives of generosity, ensuring that there's fairness and respect in the world, and that the power we hold in this world is not to be abused. Living that way will cause the world at times to judge us, and in some cases, judge us harshly. But we are made new. We are children of God sent forth with joy to share good news and the love of Jesus in word and deed because of who we are and whose we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lost in the night to the people yet languish, longing for morning the darkness to vanquish. Wake me,
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
Father the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of the Father. You will come in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
In this season of watching and waiting, let us pray for all people and places that yearn for God's presence. Holy God, renew your church and raise up leaders who announce your good news. Grant peace to congregations and seminarians in the midst of tradition. Of transition. Guide the work of candidacy and call committees. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Creating God, your Spirit brought forth the earth and all that is in it. Breathe life into us that we are inspired to live in harmony with one another and the planet. Hear us, O God,
your mercy is great.
Shepherding God, you lead your people in the paths of righteousness. Raise up prophets in your own day who warn against captivity to greed and point us to the freedom found in generosity. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Nurturing God, you come near in times of worry and need. Cradle us in your arms that we trust you and are not afraid. Attend to any who are hungry, imprisoned, or ill this day, especially Phil and Christian, Edna, Matt, Susan, Tracy, Amber, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Randy, Stan, Phyllis, Jasmine, Audrey, David, Sutton, Nola, Linda, John, Barb, and Leah, our homebound. And for those with COVID-19, we give thanks for vaccines and treatments, and we ask that you strengthen doctors, medical care workers, and caretakers who see to
to the needs of all entrusted to their care. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoice in God, you exalt us over us in singing. Enliven the song of this assembly and bless the ministry of church musicians. With instruments and dance, join our voices to the song of all creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God, you sent your Son Jesus to protect us all. We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We give you thanks for your servants who showed us your goodness and grace. By the power of your Spirit, keep us steadfast in faith until we make our home with you. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of new life, you come among us in the places we least expect. Receive these prayers and those of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Continue with an offering. You may be seated.
In me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me your salvation. Hold me with your free spirit.
Let us pray. God of abundance, we bring before you the precious fruits of your creation, and with them our very lives. Teach us patience and hope as we care for all those in need until the coming of your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite our communion assistants to come forward. And any leaders and children participating in Children's Church to come forward to line up for either a blessing or to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion. Distribution of the sacrament will be me in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for wine, and then if you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will come and release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the sight of everyone. A light to reveal to the nations, and the glory of your people is my end. Now, Lord, you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, in this meal you give us a foretaste of that day when the hungry will be fed with good things. Send us forth to make known your deeds and to proclaim the greatness of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. You get the cross, yeah. I'll signal you after the first verse. Sounds good.
Rejoice, rejoice, believers, and let your lights appear.